Thanks, everybody. I'm actually going to steal this. I think everybody knows who we are, but I'll just introduce ourselves anyway. My name's Pat Carlson. I've been the team leader for the Prue Mission team for 7 years now. And it kind of seems a bit mind-boggling that it's that long, but this was our 7th trip to Peru, our 6th medical ministry to the Shawi Indian, the Amazon River Basin. So it's really great for us to be here this morning. I want to just introduce Norma Flat. We had a Norman Flat and a Norman Flat on the team. So it was, and they were working together. So Norman Flat was our physician. And so we always had to make sure all the tickets and everything were correct as we went through Peruvian customs and everything. But anyway, so Norma has been with me. This is her third trip that she's been down to work with the Shawi. And she translates. Norma, as you, many of you may not even know, is fluently Spanish. And as well as German, but she was down there practicing her Spanish for us and translates fluently for the physician. And Norma has a particular gift of interpretation and of certainly understanding what's happening, particularly with the Shawi women. And it's an incredible, incredible gift that she brings to our team. And I do have to say that the years that she's not with us, we miss her terribly. Norman, in his as he's working with the patients that come to see us, is always so incredibly thrilled when Norma is with us on the team because of the gifts that she brings specifically to that ministry. And Eric, my husband, is Eric Carlson, and Eric was with us this year in the Shawi, in the jungle. Last year he was with us in the mountains, and this year we put him to work hauling water and doing a lot of things that need to be done when you're camping with 14 people and tents and no toilets, and I won't bore you with those details, and other things that are very challenging. And I think our third day in the jungle, I discovered why we really haven't seen that many snakes in previous years is because Eric hasn't been with us. And he has great peripheral vision. For anybody that's driven in the car with him, he'll be driving, you know, 120 kilometers down the 401, and he'll see a deer somewhere off there. So he was doing that same thing in the jungle, but with snakes. So about day three, I had to say, could you please stop looking? Because it's really stressing me. And anyway, you will see one picture of one of his particularly lovely finds that when they hauled it out of the jungle really stressed the little Shawi men. So you'll see it. But anyway, we really want to thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning. We only arrived home 2 weeks ago, so everything is still very fresh for us in terms of our memories, in terms of our emotions. Everything is very fresh in our hearts. What you'll see, I'll put up our moments. I didn't do a slideshow. I tried to capture moments of the trip. They are faces we saw, moments for us on the river. And I know that we can't begin to share with you those challenges of being there. And when you're in the midst of it, I was sharing with Peggy and with Rich and Janine and Dan just before church, the challenges are huge, huge, and we can't begin to capture them in a picture or even in a few minutes to tell you about them. And I really hope that you'll take the opportunity to speak to Sue and Eric and Norma and myself at some point. We all have incredible things that happen to us collectively, but also individually. And as many of you may know, Lily, Eric's and my daughter Lily, who's 21 this year, has stayed in Peru for an additional 6 weeks. So she's down there with another team member, Marin DeBeer. And she called us last night. They're having an incredible time. They're doing some work in the schools down there. They're doing some work out on the farm, trying to understand the processes that are happening in Peru, the challenges around social and agricultural development. Lily is in an international development program at the University of Guelph with a heart for third world women and children, and particular into Latin America. So this is a great opportunity for her, and that's where she is, and she does send her regards to all of you and wishes she was here as well, but she'll be back on the 24th of June. So I've tried to capture the moments. They're just moments in time, and I hope that some of the images will speak to you. When we're in the midst of the trip, the challenges are huge, and they are huge. We're traveling on rivers that were full when we arrived and 2 days later are empty. And suddenly we have 15 or 16 people to get out of the jungle, and we have 800 pounds of gear and we have no way out. And so you'll see us in pecky boats, dugout canoes, hauling our gear and ourselves, and 4 hours on the river in 45 degree weather and blazing sun is, although it's amusing to be in the boats, the novelty wears off after about 10 minutes, and it's a great challenge, and particularly when you're chugging around and somebody's yelling at you from another canoe that they didn't get water in their boat. So many things that we take for granted here, to walk up to the tap and have a drink of water. For me, when I'm in clinic, it's like, oh my gosh, soap and water, where's the soap? I'm a nurse, we wash our hands 50 times a day. And when you're in these clinics and everything is dirty, just to have a pitcher of water and a little bit of soap is such an incredible joy. The small things that we feel blessed with when we're down there. This year as well, we have a lot of health challenges in terms of food. What is safe to eat, what is not safe to eat, how easily it is for our water bottle to become contaminated. And pretty much everybody on the team again this year was sick at some point with some gastrointestinal issues, which, you know, we always kind of laugh about, oh, diarrhea and everything. It is not funny in the jungle, and it's very, very stressful for team members who become ill on the day we're leaving to go upriver. And we realize that we're going to be in a boat for 8 hours, and we're on, you'll see some of the little tiny rivers we were on, that it's literally a wall of jungle. There's nowhere to stop. You're in there, you're in for the long haul. And those are stressful. It's stressful for me as the team leader, because it's my heart that that's not what the experience of Peru is. But for some reason, I know that certainly Satan comes against us on every turn when we're there. Whether it is our own emotions that run high. And you appreciate that there are 14 people living in very closed environments and traveling in a boat and working together for 2 solid weeks. And this year, actually, we were down, 6 of us were down for 17 days because Air Canada, in their wisdom, changed our flights. So half our team left on the Wednesday and spent 2 extra days in Lima, actually, and we had a really blessed time together. And the rest of the team arrived with Eric on Friday morning through American Airlines. And on every turn, even just the stress of us changing our travel plans and having to tell our managers that we had to leave 2 days earlier and trying to get the luggage together to go and separate it out, what could be taken on the Wednesday, what had to go on the Friday, was just so much additional stress. Only to arrive in Miami and through Miami and on Friday night in Lima to find out we had lost 2 of our most important pieces of luggage through Miami. We lost the suitcase with all of our medical equipment, all our stethoscopes, all our ophthalmoscopes, otoscopes, everything that our physician needed to do assessment was gone. And our large suitcase with $900 of brand new camping mattresses, 3 pair of hiking boots, which are essential when you're trotting through jungle snakes and everything and that you're finding through there. They did catch up with us 2 days later in Yurimaguas, minus a significant number of our protective gear, and that was a tremendous loss for us. And these are just some of the things that happened on our trip that we really look at and say, this was just really on every turn, at every opportunity, Satan coming against us in every little way. And it seems silly to think that it was Satan coming against us that we didn't have 2 pair of hiking boots. But 2 pair of hiking boots in the jungle is a big deal. And we had 2 team members slogging through in rubber boots. And for me, that made me feel horrible as a team leader, because I realized that 2 of my team members were not even fully safe. And that's stressful and cause for prayer. And I know that many of you were praying specifically. For the safety of it. Anyway. Every year we have larger and larger clinics. I think that it's an incredible, it speaks highly to the work that we do there with Missionary Ventures, because every year we have more and more and more people who come to these clinics. It's nothing for us to have 150 to 200 people through the clinic in a day. The challenges that come with that is every year we've only had one physician. And every year, as a team leader, I've taken on this, it's an important role, and it's running the clinic or running the pharmacy. And I, so I pretend I'm a pharmacist for 2 weeks every year. So one of the prayers I would ask for all of you, if you'd care to join with us as we plan for next year, because yes, indeed, 2 weeks home, we're already planning for next year. They're already looking for us and asking us when we're coming, to take a Christian pharmacist. We desperately need a pharmacist. I can no longer carry the role of that, and we desperately need two physicians. So I would challenge you with that prayer, and thank you for joining us in that. What comes along with those larger clinics and meeting more people is the fact that we now have to play Peruvian politics. Not a position that we've been placed in before, but the local mayors of the villages that may be a mayor for 12 villages and maybe in their surrounding area may have 10,000 to 12,000 Shawi that he's responsible for, are now coming out to meet with us every trip. So I have to do the political thing now with Susan as the team leader and as the missionary, and they're asking us for more and more because they see it now as a political opportunity. The elections are this year, so now we're having to play political Peruvian politics as well, and those are some of the challenges. I'm learning Peruvian jungle politics. I'm going to ask my team to share with you, and again, I'm disappointed and I'm heartsick for Susan that she couldn't be with us today. But what she has sent for us and is some video clips, and this would be what Sue would have shared with you. And these are video clips that Sue took, and they have some explanation of jungle life. And I hope that it speaks to you, and I hope you get a bit of a sense of what the jungle looks like. So there are four, one longer video clip and three short ones that will be Sue's portion of the sharing. And then Norma and Eric are each going to share as well. So I maybe dim the lights and hit the show. And
so welcome to Nuevo Papa Playa. On a small river about 5 hours by speedboat from Uramagus and about 16 hours by small pecky pecky boat from Uramagus. I'll show you some of the life of the village. Here are some children and their mother. It's laundry day. These are the boats which took us here. Water had to be deep enough for these boats, which have outboards on them. And a couple times we had to take a run through some barriers on the river. Our boat driver here is in his hamaca, getting some rest. This afternoon we leave to visit another village. We'll walk through the main street of the town. It's a town that has an economy based around the cutting of wood and the selling of wood, as well as agriculture, raising cattle, corn, growing rice. Here's a man's, a family's house. They sleep upstairs. The lower area is their kitchen and their eating area. And actually, their kitchen is right over here. Breakfast has been cooked and eaten. The building on the right is, I believe, where the chickens will be kept overnight so that they don't yet traveling too far away from home. There's a satellite dish in town for the satellite-operated, solar-powered telephone. There's also electricity in this town when they fire the generator up in the evening just for a couple hours, so people can watch a little bit of television if they have it, charge some batteries, light up some streets, have a church service. This is the home of Pastor Roger. It's also the home where we were hosted. We pitched 8 tents in the upper area of the Pastor Roger's home. And we'll just take a little walk inside, show you our camping area. Buenos dias, senor.
God bless you.
Gracias. This is up the stairs, past our water filtration system, where we bring drinking water with us, but it's never enough, so we're filtering water. Take you up to the upstairs, which is the sleeping quarters. Like I said, our packs, 8 tents. Then back down this really steep stairs to the living room. Pastor Roger's working on his new table here. He's carved this out of a large tree, 36-inch bar and his chainsaw. Really nice base. He's going to sand that down and varnish it up really nice. And here's his wife. She runs a little tienda, a little store. Well, somebody's come for a transaction. There's some food in here, some umbrellas, sell some rice, lots of bottle pop, plastic bottles up to 3 liters in size. Then I'll follow her to her kitchen. This is the kitchen where Dilcia and Pastor Roger's wife have been cooking meals for us over a nice little stove. Buenos dias, Dilcia.
Hola, hermano Felipe.
Well, here's the cupboards. All the food. We've already had breakfast this morning. There's the stove.
La cocina.
Cocina. Lunch is being made, probably pollo for the lunch. There's a little chimney that does not go right through the roof, but up high enough for the smoke to leave.
Yeah.
And then here's the table where we gather around as a team and have fellowship, food, and lots of fun.
Careful, Tom.
But they just
want
to help.
I know. Them, they want to help.
Yeah. Look at them go.
This is unloading the boats at each village. We have to load and unload the boats.
We're used to doing
and climb these 10-foot clay banks. San Juan at sunset. You can see where the river's dropped. We can't get our boats out. Those were just Susan's thoughts that she wanted to share with you. Some of the, we had a few disasters coming out. We have other stories to share with you, but I'm going to let Norma speak to the clinics and her experiences.
I'm going to share a couple extra stories, if that's okay with you, that I thought of this morning. I'm going to try to get through this without completely breaking down. Some people know me as I can get pretty emotional at times, but like Pat said, it's still really real. It's only been 2 weeks since we've been home, and some of you have done missions trips before, and it does alter your life. It changes your life. It changes your perspective. It changes the way you look at things when you come back. It changes your compassion, your empathy with people. And so I hope that through these stories this morning, you will also think about what difference you can make in someone's life right here where you live. We sang that song, How Great Thou Art, and that is my very all-time favorite song, and it has been so probably for 40 years. And as we were singing it, it talks about stars. And the stars in the jungle are unbelievably, incredibly beautiful. There are a million of them because we're nowhere near a city. So the sky just lights up with a million stars. Well, on one of these starlit nights, where you didn't even really need lamps, as we were eating our supper, we were outside eating and the sky was so clear. On that particular night, we were sleeping. It was the middle of the night, and all of a sudden there was this great big crash against the hut that we were sleeping in. And my tent was right across the opening of this hut. And I bolted up, and there was the bull trying to get his head through this hut. And I could see his horns because it was such a beautiful night, and he was standing just a few feet away from me. And all I could think about is, and I said, and there were, I think, four tents in that little hut, the bull is trying to get his head through the hut. And no one said anything. Some people slept right through it. I couldn't believe it. Well, the next morning, one of the girls thought I was just hallucinating. It was very real. The bull did try to get through our hut. First of all, I'd like to thank you so much for allowing us to share our story this morning. Many of you thought of us and prayed for us, and I'm going to single somebody out this morning. Jim, thank you so much for telling us that you will pray for us every morning. That sustained us. It really did. I often thought Jim's praying for us today. That was really, really helpful. I'm going to briefly share with you about the relationships that we've built with the Peruvian teams. As Pat mentioned, this is my third trip back. I don't make those decisions lightly because I know from previous years how difficult these trips are. But we've come to love and appreciate these fellow Christians in Peru. And I always ask myself before I go, and especially while I'm there, what difference is it really going to make just to drop in for 2 weeks? And what can we do to make someone else's life better? And I'll just give you a couple of examples. When we talk about the hogar, it's the maternal home and orphanage in Yurimaguas, and that is the home of our missionary Susan. There are ladies there who continue to work hard every day to make a real difference in the lives of children who permanently live there. There are five or six permanent kids, six permanent children that live there. Through different circumstances, they've come to live at the hogar. And recently, a newborn has come to live at the hogar, and the ladies take turns taking the baby home at night to look after her. Mothers come from the jungle. Sometimes they bring their entire families to live at the hogar for a while. They're fed, they're housed, they're loved, and the medicine is provided for them as they recuperate from illnesses or are waiting for a baby to arrive because there's a hospital at Yurimaguas. And so we've come to love and appreciate and value how hard these women work on a daily basis. Their names are Flor, Dilcia, Jesusa, and Daisy, and under the leadership of Susan, the missionary, they've worked there for a number of years. And so friendships have been formed, and it's always hard to say goodbye. Then there's Alex. He's the pastor of a church in Lima. He's the one that typically picks us up from the airport, takes care of us, makes sure that we get driven around everywhere. You may have heard his name before. He's in a dynamic leader, and his gifts are in leading teams, in equipping teams. He will often have pastors come from all over Peru and lead teams and teaching and strengthening the church there. So he's a constant and reliable worker and a great asset in Peru. And Susan, the missionary we work with, has been in Peru for close to 15 years, and she works tirelessly to further the work, particularly with the Shawi Indians. And this work, believe me, is not for the faint of heart. I've been asked a number of times by coworkers and people that I know, how was your trip to Peru? And I had to say this time, it was hard. It was hard in many ways. I was one afflicted with illness a number of times, and it's disheartening because you prepare for 3/4 of a year to go, and some days you can't work. You're just laid up and have no energy. So Susan doing this year after year, it's not for the faint of heart. She's also sometimes plagued with these same illnesses as we are, and so I think it takes a special person to do the work that she does. And she's really sacrificed of herself to further God's kingdom and to bring helping hands like we are from other lands to help her people. So this has been my third trip, as I mentioned, and I've had the privilege of being the Spanish translator and working directly with our team doctor. And again, while we're there, I say, well, what difference can we make? What difference can I make in someone's life? And as I've come back, I've had to think about an elderly man who was brought by his son one day into one of our clinics, and he had long pants on, so we didn't really know what was wrong. The son said, I brought my father. He didn't really want to come, but I'm really worried about him because he has a sore on his leg. And so the man pulled up his pant leg, and there was this huge, grotesque wound. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And I'm not a medical person, I'm just the translator. And so it just took me aback, and I've had to think about this man, and so far removed from any town, from any hospital, from any clinic, what difference could we make in this man's life? Well, we were able to take a sheet and rip it up in pieces and make sure that he was able to take home pieces of the sheet so that he could tend to his wound. We were able to give him antibiotics and lotions and make sure that he would be able to take care of that wound. And so I often think about him, and I wonder, what difference have we made in this man's life? In another clinic, a mother walked 2 hours through the jungle to bring her boy. He must have been 8 or 10 years old. He had this huge boil behind his ear. It completely contorted his face. And so she walked 2 hours to get to us. And we were able to, again, as I say, this isn't for the faint of heart, and I'm not a medical person, so I don't mean to gross you out with some of the details, but we were able to open that wound and show her how to take care of it with antibiotic cream, with antibiotics, with painkillers, because he was really suffering. It was painful. It was embarrassing to him. He was covering his head with a piece of cloth, so none of the other kids would see that he had this awful wound behind his ear. Unbeknownst to the mother, we were actually going to her village the next day. So we were able to take her with us and check the wound the next day. And again, reminder, because she doesn't read, and we had given her a multitude of medicines and bags, take this every 4 hours, take this every 6 hours, because he needed immediate help. And she came with the bags the next day and to the clinic that we had, and she was confused. And so we were able to remind her again about when the medicines were to be taken. And so what difference can we make in one person's life? And I think of that little boy. We saw many fevers and children crying. And much of the time we spent in teaching them about water. Amazingly enough, we take it so for granted just to pour a glass of water out of our taps. And you've heard the story from lots of missionaries over the years, but when you're seeing it every time you go to the jungle, these children with bellies out to here and just full of parasites and trying to make it real to the parent that the pill that they got that morning to kill the parasites would only work if they would tomorrow start boiling their water so that the child wouldn't get reinfected. And we tried to do that with every child and every parent that came through, just to try and get them to boil their water. So, yes, they're just stories, and they might just be stories that you're hearing, but these were real people, and God's love for them is so great. And so we have an opportunity and an obligation to not only do something right here where we live, but also go out to those places where very few people dare to go, not even Peruvian medical teams will venture out into the areas that we've been to. And I don't say that in a proud way. I just say that because God has blessed us and given us opportunities through the churches that we work with, through people who have been very generous in their giving, and you have been as a church, supported us through the years. And these team efforts to Peru are really difficult. They're costly and they take a lot of preparation. I've not shared the story with many people, but I think God's nudged me this morning to actually share it. And I shared the story with Pat 2 weeks before we left. I knew we were going to see the Shawi Indians, and so I just typed in Shawi Indians in December on the internet. And I was stunned to find out that there really was this awful unrest that had happened in the very areas that we had worked in last year. Some of the Sharmas, the witch doctors, were being massacred, beheaded, about a dozen of them, because they weren't delivering as expected. Because there's so much darkness there, there's so much witchcraft there. Some of these witch doctors were trying to help children, and some of these kids died. And so this awful group took it upon themselves to just try and hunt them out. And so it was a heavy heart for me, knowing that I recognized one of the villages where a Shawi witch doctor had been beheaded. We had been to that village two years ago. And since 2 years ago, when we had been at that village, I sensed this tremendous darkness one night, and I knew that that town needed healing and a touch from God and transformation. And so in January, my friend Heather Gross, some of you know her, she attended here a number of years ago. Heather and I started meeting. Heather came along as one of the nurses, and she lives on my street, and we started meeting and praying on a weekly basis just for God's touch on these people and the darkness, and that we have come across villages where the gospel has spread, and we notice the huge difference in people in villages where transformation has taken place. So God is an amazing God. He works there, and I pray that his whatever we did, whoever we touched, if we were able to lend a helping hand in a physical way, that's just part of it, but I pray that God would also transform their hearts and bring them closer to him. So, again, I say, did we make a difference? And I believe we did. We continue to make a difference. And I ask that you ask yourself the question as well, can I make a difference in someone else's life?
Thanks. And I'm going to ask Eric to come up.
I will be short. I'm not a part of the medical team as per se, because I don't have any medical background, but I'm more of the support. And just like any church or any organization, there's always people that work behind the scenes to make things work as well, so everybody has a part. But some of the things that you see inside the photos behind us. Phil and I did a lot of things behind the scenes, and they just included pecky boat rides, and the boats that they've actually carved out of trees, the small engine repairs and spending time with the men, the banyo preparation. The first thing that we have to do is set up where's the bathroom going to be, sun shelters for the patients that are waiting, making sure that there's a water supply for everybody. Serpent watch. I'm on serpent watch. Tent setups and taking down. There's boat packing. There's the shower installation and taking down. They're setting up the medical offices from the triage to the physicians to the pharmacy. Opportunities to go to the farm and see, you know, the corn growing options. They've actually got a field that they've actually planted hand, and they've got four different types of crops of corn. And what they do is they have the villagers coming in from the Shawi, and they see how the crops are. This one is short and dispersed, and this one is tall and it's green and it's flourishing. Well, what's the difference? So they show them the differences on how they can actually grow their crops and how they fertilize things and how to get the most out of it. But for them to see how the crops are actually growing and how they manage them makes a big difference on how they can supply food for themselves. They've got a fish farm on the go right at the moment. They've got the chicken raising and showing them how when they come into the farm area, how they corral their chickens and be able to make better use of the area so that the kids aren't walking around in the feces from the chickens. And then there's always the fun with the people and the laughing and the hugs and the smiles and just the opportunity of serving others. And by the congregation here, by supporting the mission teams, whether or not it's the team going to Peru or elsewhere, you are making a difference. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Just in closing, Norma shared a story of the young lad who had the growth. And actually, in Lily's conversation last night, that young lad has actually a tumor we've discovered. So, Hina's mother arrived in Yurimaguas on Friday, and they're in the midst of tests. He'll probably have to go into Lima to have some major surgery. However, what is the joy of that? The joy of that for us is that we can do that, that they can do that, and that is because of the churches here in Canada that support our team. Because the money that is raised beyond what we need for our immediate needs, what we call project funds, so the money that we raise at our silent auction, that we raise through our soup sales, that we raise when we just ask you for money. Susan always says to me, I don't know, Pat, how you get so much money. I said, I just ask for it. I just ask, and I thank you for those of you that have responded to that asking. But this is the difference that you make as you go about your life here today. There's a little boy in Peru who will have surgery and who will have his tumor. It may be malignant, we don't know, but he will have it removed and he will have treatment because of you. So you do make a difference, and it is a difference. That little lad would not have come out of the jungle. He would not have seen a doctor had we not been there in Popopaya, which was the village that you saw Phil walking through and talking about. And I will add that was 5-star accommodation compared to some of the other places we were this year and where we've been in previous years, to actually have a generator, even if it only ran for a couple hours after dark, was wonderful. You do make an incredible difference in the lives of the people there. There's another woman whose story I'll share, but I'm going to share it in the newsletter. Karen asked if I would share a story. And I wasn't sure which story. I wrote her back and I said, yes, there's many, I'll think of one, but the Lord did give me the story this morning. And I'm going to share that with you in writing because I can't share it here. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for allowing us to share our stories with you. There are many. Lots of interesting things, sidelines. And I hope you'll take the time, if you're interested, to speak to each of us over the next weeks and hear some more of our stories and the lives that you touched through us. And we thank you for giving us that privilege. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your prayers. For those of you that prayed specifically for us, not just Jim, we were so grateful for that. We knew every morning that we were sustained. But I know there were many, many of you in this congregation that prayed for us every day, and I thank you for that. That is indeed what sustained us. And thank you again for the opportunity to share.
Well, I think we'll just close this morning by praying for some of those things. I think it's important. We've obviously heard some things that obviously you who are there can barely process. Those of us who weren't there maybe don't have much of a mindset for what that all means. But thank you for going, and thank you for sharing. And our hope in having them share isn't just for information. It's that we would continue to have a passion for others around the world who we may not ever meet in person, but we meet through others, and that we go together. So let's just pray this morning as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Pat, Eric, and Norma, and Susan, and Lily, and others who've gone. Lord, we pray for Alex this morning in Peru as he more than likely meets with one or more churches, and all that's on his plate, I pray we continue to give him the giftings to manage it all and do well. And as he mentors other pastors and leads teams, may your kingdom continue to spread. May each person that Alex and Susan down there and others speak to not only have new life spiritually, but physically, but spiritually as well. And Father, pray for Susan this morning. She's ill. I ask your healing on her. Whether this is stemming from Peru or not, we ask that she would be restored. Thanks for her life and her willingness to serve. Lord, thanks for Pat and her leadership of the team and all the sacrifices her and the others have made to make a difference in people who, realistically, in our North American lives, we would never meet, nor do many people think of or care about. So, Father, as a church, I pray you continue to grow our heart for those around us, across the street from us, in the coffee shops with us, and across the world. May you give us a heart and a passion of how to reach others, first to bless them and take care of their immediate needs, and then to have an ear to hear their plight and words to speak into them. May we be you to those around us. Thanks so much for this morning, God, for what we've learned and for what we've experienced. May you richly bless those who took the weeks and hours and hours and hours of preparation to change the lives of others. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you as you go.